We're going to learn Yumadaf Ein Zayin. We're going to start from 10 lines from the bottom of Ein Zayin Omid Aleph. Says the Gemara, Un'ilas hasandol minolon. We saw in the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek that wearing shoes on Yom Kippur is contrary to the requirement of being afflicted on Yom Kippur. Where do we know that not wearing shoes is considered an affliction? Tachsiv, it says in the Pasuk, V'David oile b'male hazesim. We saw previously already, in the previous Gemara of Ayin Vav, that anything that David HaMelech went through whilst he was running away from Avshalom, it was considered an affliction. And David HaMelech said that one of the things that happened when he was running away from Avshalom, V'David oile b'male hazesim, that David was going up the mountain called Har Hazesim, the Mount of Olives, oile u'boiche, he was crying as he was going up, V'roish loy chofui, his head was covered, V'hu hoylech yochif, and he was going bare. And the Gemara says, what does yochif mean? Yochif mimai, what was David bare of? Lav, is it not min'ilas sandal? Can we not assume that his foot was, he was going barefoot? And you see there that not wearing shoes, being deprived of shoes, is considered an affliction. Says the Gemara, no. V'dilva, maybe what he was bare of was misusia umartiko. Since David HaMelech was a king, and the king was used to going to traveling with a horse and a whip, and since when he was escaping from Avshalom, he did not have a horse and a whip, he was considered as being bare. And then you wouldn't have any source that not wearing shoes is considered an affliction. Says the Gemara, El Omer of Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok brings a different source. Mehocha, I'll bring you another pasuk where we see that Yachif means barefoot. It says in the pasuk regarding Yeshayo, Leich, go upitachto hasak me'al mosnecho, and release your sackcloth that he was wearing at the time from your loins, v'nalcho tachaloit me'al raglecho, and remove your shoe from your foot. Uchsiv, and at the end of the pasuk it says, Vayas Cain, and he did so, Holoich Oroim V'yochif. He was going naked, so to speak. We'll soon see what that means. And bare. So you see there, Yochif Mimai, what was he bare of? Lav, is it not min ilas hasandal, from wearing shoes? He was told to remove his shoes. V'nal chotach lo itzmel raglecho. And you see, it's called Yochif. And once we see from Yeshaya that it was called Yochif, can we not assume that the same will apply by David HaMelech? When it says by David HaMelech that he went Yochif, he went bare, it means he was going barefoot, says the Gemara. No. Maybe over there by Yeshaya, Ve'ema b'min olim hametuloim. Maybe over there he was told to remove his fixed and proper shoes, but in place he put on patched shoes. Why would we say that? If you're not going to say that, if you're going to assume that his feet were completely barefoot, then Oroim Mamush, when it says that he went naked, does it really mean he went naked? Of course not. Elobivagodim bluim. Rather, he took off, he removed his clothes that were not patched, and in place he put patched and tattered clothing. Hochanami bumin olim hamatuloim. Here too it could be that it means he went bare, he means that he went with patched shoes, but not that he went with no shoes. Ela Omar of Nachman Bar Yitzchok Mehocha, we have another pasuk where we see explicitly that the term Yachif is used for being completely barefoot, and then we understand that when David HaMelech went Yochif, it means completely barefoot, and then we understand that going barefoot is called an affliction. Where do we see that? Because the pasuk says, Mehocha, min'i ragleich miyochif ugroineich mitzimo. Withhold your foot from being barefoot, and your throat from thirst. And this is what Hashem was telling Yirmiyah. He was saying, try and avoid needing to go into Golus and be exiled. And people who go into Golus, they don't wear any shoes whatsoever. Mini atzmeich minachet, withhold yourself from sin, kidei shelo yovo yiragleich lidei yichuf, so that your feet will not come to barefootedness. And people who go into Golus, they are completely barefoot. Min'i l'shoineich, midvorim betelim, and withhold your tongue from speaking words that are idle chatter, kadesha la yovei groinich lidei tzimo, in order that your throat will not come to thirst. And since the Gemara here speaks about and compares the people who go into exile to Golos as Yochif, and they go into Golos completely barefoot. So you see that Yochif means barefoot. Continues the Gemara. The final of the five afflictions on Yom Kippur is Tashmish HaMita, which is having marital relations, which is also on Yom Kippur. Asks the Gemara, Tashmish HaMita de Ikri Inui Minolon, where do we see that abstaining from marital relations is considered an affliction? Answers the Gemara, Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, that Lavon said to Yaakov Avinu, Dechsiv im ta'anes benoisai, if you will afflict my daughters, his daughters Rachel and Leah, v'im tikach noshim, or if you're going to take wives, extra wives, added wives, beyond the wives you have, Rachel and Leah, you might take extra wives, and having extra wives is also a form of affliction and a pain for the existing previous wives. So the Gemara says, Im ta'ane, when Lavan was saying to Yaakov to swear that he was not going to afflict onto his daughters, Rachel and Leah, two things, Im ta'ane, what would that mean, that he swore not to afflict on them, mitashmish, that he wasn't going to abstain from the relations that he was supposed to have with them. V'im tikach, and the second thing that Lavan said is that you're not going to take an extra wives on Rachel and Leah, rivalry wives, mitzoris, these are rival wives. Those are the two things that Lavan made Yaakov swear that he would protect his daughters, Rachel and Leah, Yaakov's wives. So you see that abstaining from marital relations is called ta'ane, it's called an affliction. Asks the Gemara, no, maybe ve'ema idi ve'idi mitzoris. Maybe both points that Lavan wanted Yaakov to swear about, also the ve'im ta'ane and also the ve'im tikach, that both of them are referring to not taking rivalry wives, and one is just an explanation of the other. That means it's so to speak to say im tikach would be the explanation of the im ta'ane. It says, im ta'anes benoisa, you're not going to afflict my daughters. How would you afflict them? By im tikach noshim al benoisa, by taking extra wives with my daughters. That means on top of the wives that you have already, you're going to take some more rivalry wives. And then you would have no proof that the ta'ane, the affliction, means abstaining from marital relations. Says the Gemara, no. Miksiv im tikach, if it would say im ta'anes benoisai, im tikach noshim, without the extra vav, then I would understand that the im tikach noshim al benoisai is going to be an explanation. What does it mean, im ta'anes benoisai, that you're not going to afflict my daughters? It means im tikach noshim al benoisai, you're not going to take any extra wives. But it doesn't say that. It says v'im tikach, or if you will take extra wives. From the fact that it says this or that, you see that the imta'ane is not the v'imtikach. So the v'imtikach noshim al benoisai means that he swore he wasn't going to take any extra wives. Imta'ane es benoisai means he swore that he was not going to deprive them of the relations that he was due to them. So you see that tashmish hamita, or abstaining from it, is called an inui. Asks the Gemara, Ve'ema idi ve'idi mitzoris. I understand that one is not going to be an explanation of the other. The imtikach noshim al benoisai is not going to explain the imta'anes benoisai, but maybe there's two different types of rivalry wives. And that's what the pasuk means. Imta'anes benoisai means that you're not going to afflict on my daughters, which means that Bila and Zilpah, the two concubines that you have, that I love and gave you together with Rachel and Leah, you're not going to turn them into regular wives, because that will also be some form of rivalry to Rachel and Leah. And v'imtikach noshim al benoisai would mean that you're going to swear that you're not going to take totally new wives that had never been yours. Chad letzoris today. One is that you're not going to take those women that are already yours as concubines, you're not going to elevate them to the status of Rachel and Leah. V'chad letzoris da'osyon le'me alma. And the second one was that you're not going to take wives from outside, new wives. Dumya de'imtikach. And in that, if we understand that way, then the imta'ane will have some similarity to the imtikach, that both of them will be regarding tzoris, will be regarding rivalry wives, and nothing to do with the issue of abstaining from marital relations, says the Gemara. No, because when a person makes somebody else swear, he makes him first commit himself to the greater issue. And then say, not only that, even a smaller issue. Here, if that was the case, it should first have said, Im tikach noshim al b'noisai, you're not going to marry new women from outside. And not only that, but also, Im ta'anes b'noisai, you're not going to afflict them by giving Bilhah and Zilpah, the concubines, the status of regular wives. But it doesn't, it says it the other way around. It first says, Im ta'anes b'noisai, and then v'im tikach noshim al b'noisai. Miksiv im tikach v'im ta'ane. No, it doesn't say it that way around. It says, Im ta'ane v'im tikach ksiv. And it wouldn't make sense that he would first say the Im ta'ane, don't upgrade, so to speak, the concubines, Bilhah and Zilpah, to the status of wives, and v'im tikach noshim, don't bring totally new wives. That would be a wrong way, a wrong order of making somebody swear. And since we have no other way of understanding this pasuk, obviously the words Im ta'anes b'noisai means you're not going to afflict them by depriving them of marital relations. So you see here that abstaining from tashmish hamito is called an inui. Omale Rav Papa La'abaya, Rav Papa asked La'abaya, Ho tashmish gufa ikra inui. How can you say affliction is abstaining from marital relations when the marital relations themselves is considered inui? Tichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, when Shechem took Dinah, the daughter of Yaakov, it says, Vayishkav Oisa, that he lay with her, Vayi'aneho, and he afflicted her. And we assume that that means that he had marital relations with her, and that's called an infliction. So how can you say that infliction is not having relations when you see in the Pasuk that having relations seems to be called an infliction? Says the Gemara, Omale Abaya said to him, no. Hosom she'ino mibiyos acheres. There were other afflictions. When it says Vayishka Vaisa, he had relations with her. Vayaneho, he afflicted her afterwards from other acts of relations. And there's a discussion in the Mefarashim, and Rashi's got a few pshatim here, exactly what this means, what Shechem, how Shechem actually afflicted Dina. But the affliction here is not the actual act of having these relations. And therefore, we're back to what we saw before, that the words Im ta'anes b'noisai means abstaining from relations is considered an affliction, and therefore having relations on Yom Kippur is osur. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon, osur lirchoitz, we learned before that rechitza, washing, is not allowed on Yom Kippur. The Braisa says, osur lirchoitz, miktsas gufoi, kechol gufoi, one's not even allowed to wash part of a person's, of one's body, and not just one's entire body. However, if a person is dirty, soiled with either mud or excrement, he can wash himself as he usually does, and he doesn't need to be concerned that he has violated the issa of washing on Yom Kippur. And that's about washing. What about anointing? Just in the same way as it's prohibited to anoint one's entire body, so too is it prohibited to anoint even just part of one's body. However, if he's sick, or he has scabs on his head, he may anoint himself as he normally would. He does not need to be concerned that he has violated a halacha of Yom Kippur. Continues the Gemara, Tonad Bei Menashe. In the Beis HaMedrash of Menashe, they taught the following braisa, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oymir, Madicha Isha Yodo Achas B'mayim V'noisenes Pasla Tinoik. A woman who wants to feed her young child with bread, and she does not want to touch the bread without first washing the Tilas Yudayim, washing her hands, she's allowed to wash one hand, and then with that hand, take the bread and feed the child. She does not need to be concerned that she's violated Hilchas Yom Kippur. Omro lov al Shammai Azokin, it was said about Shammai the elder, Shelo yirotzo lahachil biyodo echas. He did not want to feed his child even with one hand. Obviously he had somebody else to feed the child, or there must have been some other issue, some other way, he wasn't going to starve his child, but he didn't want to even wash his one hand. The Gozrolov, but his friends, his colleagues, they decreed on him, Lahachil b'shteyodayim, that he should actually feed his child with two hands, and he obviously had to then wash both his hands to avoid the issue of touching bread without washing hands, and there was no issue of Yom Kippur there. My Tama, why is washing one's hands allowed just because one wants to touch food? Omar Abaya, Mishum Shivta. Abaya says it's because of the evil spirit called Shivta. And Rashi says this is the evil spirit that rests on a person's hands when he wakes up in the morning. It's a spirit that's also called Basmelech. And this spirit will be transferred to any food that one touches before washing one's hands. Tosfos has a different explanation here and says it's nothing to do with washing in the morning. Anyone's allowed to wash their hands in the morning on Yom Kippur Netilas Yadayim. And here we're talking about washing one's hands before touching bread, which was a practice they had then, but a practice that we don't really have today. Something discussed by Tosfos, why today do we not wash hands when before we touch bread, only before we eat bread? Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Ha'hoileich lehakpil p'nei Aviv. If somebody is going to visit his father, or p'nei Rabbi, or his teacher, or p'nei Mishagodl Mimenu, or anyone that's greater than him in Torah learning, then Oiver ad Tzavori Bamayim, if the only way he can reach that person is by wading, by passing through a stream up until his neck in water, he's allowed to do that. V'einei Choshesh, he doesn't need to be concerned that he's transgressed washing on Yom Kippur. Because since he's passing through the water for a mitzvah, not just for pleasure, and there's a mitzvah to visit one's father and one's teacher, then since he's not doing it for pleasure, there's no issue of Hilchas Yom Kippur. Asks the Gemara Bo Elohu, Horave Tzal Talmid Mai, what's the halacha if a teacher wants to go to his student in order to teach him Torah, is the teacher also allowed to go through the water? The Gemara says, Toshema, the Omer Yitzchok Bar Bar Chona, Ano chazite, I saw le ze'iri. I saw ze'iri de ozal. He went through a stream, through the water, legabe Rav Chiya bar Ashi talmide, in order to go and teach his student, Rav Chiya bar Ashi. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi refutes this, and he says that you made a mistake, that's not what the incident was. Hahu Rav Chiya bar Ashi, it was actually Rav Chiya bar Ashi who de ozal, who went through the stream, legabe ze'iri, rabbi, to learn Torah from his teacher, Ze'iri, and not the other way around. And therefore we have no clear proof whether a teacher is allowed to go through the water to go and teach his student Torah. Continues the Gemara. Rava Shara Lebnei Avar Yamina. Rava allowed the people of Avar Yamina, the name of a place, Lemever Bamaya, to pass through the water, Lenatura Pera, to guard their fruits. They had orchards that were on the other side of the river, and they wanted to go and protect them, to guard them. And he said, since you're not going into the water for pleasure, it's allowed. Omale Abayla Rava. Abaye said to Rava, Tani de Masei Aloch, I've got a brisa supporting you. The brisa says, Shomrei Peiros, those who guard the produce, Oivrin at Tzavoron B'mayim, are allowed to go until their necks deep. In water v'ein choshishim, they do not need to be concerned that they have violated the halacha of Yom Kippur. Continues the Gemara of Yosef Shorolei Hu Lebnei Beit Arbu. Rav Yosef allowed the people of the place called Beit Arbu, Lemever Bamaya, to pass through the water, Lemaisa Lepirka, in order to come to the drasha that was given by the Chochem on Yom Kippur. Lemeizal Loi Shorolehu. However, he did not allow them to go through the water to go back home after the lecture. Omale Abaya, Abaya said to him, If you don't let them go back, then next year they're not going to come to the drasha in the first place because you haven't allowed them to go back, and therefore you're allowed to let them go back. Ikud Omra, another version of the same incident, is Sharaluhu Lemaisa Vasharaluhu Lemezel, that Rav Yosef actually allowed them not only to come to the drasha, but also to go back home afterwards. Omale Abaya, Abaya asked Rav Yosef, Bishleim Lemaisa, in order to come to the drasha, I can understand, Lechaya, on the contrary, your ruling is upright and makes sense. Elo lemezel, but to go back home, my tamo. Why would you want them to be allowed to go back home on Yom Kippur through the water? And he answered them, Rav Yosef says, Kadei shelo yitei machshilan osid lovei, because I want them to come next year again for the drasha. And if I don't let them go back now, then next year they won't come back. Continues the Gemara of Yehuda, Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, Havakaima aguda de nahar papo. Rav Yehuda and Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, they were standing on the banks of the river Papa, Amabro de Chatzdat, at the crossing close to the place called Chatzdat. Vahavakoi Romi bar Papa mehachkisa. And Romi bar Papa was standing on the other side of the river. Romelu kola. He shouted to them. Romi bar Papa shouted to Rav Yehuda and Rav Shmuel, Ma'u lemever. What is the halacha? Am I allowed to pass through the river, lemaise legabaychu, to come to you, lemishal shmaita, to ask you some learning, something in Torah? Omale Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda responded that Rav and Shmuel de Omre Tarvayu, both Rav and Shmuel held, Oiver, you're allowed to go through the water. However, bilvad shelo yitzi yode mitachas cheifes chalukoi. They were used to wearing these long draped garments, cloaks, and you're not allowed to raise your hand, so to speak, to lift up the lower part of this garment, of this cloak, lift it up from close to the floor, make sure you don't do that, because that is not a regular way of wearing this garment. It's as if you're folding up the garment and draping it over your shoulders, and there's an issue of carrying from one domain to another, from a Shus HaYochid to a Shus HaRabim, from a Shus HaRabim to a Shus HaYochid, and that's not allowed. So if you want to go through the water, that's fine, but make sure you do not lift up the hem of the cloak at all. Ikaduk Omra. Others say that what happened was Omale Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, that it wasn't Rav Yehuda that responded, it was Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda who responded, and what he said to Rami Bar Papa was Tanina, that we actually learnt in a Braisa, Oivir, that you're allowed to go through the water, Bilvad Shelo Yotzi Yado Mitachas Chifes Chalukoi. He didn't say this in the name of Rav Shmuel, he said it in the name of a Braisa. As we said before, you're allowed to go through the water, but make sure you do not lift the hem of your cloak above, lift it up from near the floor. And now the Gemara is asking a different question. We saw before a couple of times that one's allowed to go through the water even at Tzavoron, until their necks in the water, which means that they are wading and swimming through water neck deep. Asks the Maskif Lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asked, Ubachol ki haigavna mishari? Is it mutter to go through the water neck deep even during the week? Nothing to do with Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Uvaksiv, does it not say in the Pasuk? And this is a posuk which Yecheskel wrote in Sefer Yecheskel, that the Malach, he saw in a vision, a heavenly vision, when he was shown a stream that would be going from the Kodesh HaKadoshim through the Heichal, through the Azara, through Yerushalayim, and out. And this stream, as it distanced itself from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it became wider and wider and deeper and deeper. And the posuk says like this, that the Malach Vayomod Elef ba'amo, he measured 1,000 amos, va'yavireini ba'mayim mei afsoim. And in the vision, the malach, he allowed Yecheskel to go through this water, ankle deep in water. So far, what would we understand? Mikan, from here we can learn, shamut lavir adafsaim, one's allowed to pass through water that's ankle deep. The pasuk continues, va'yomed elef, he measured another 1,000 amos away. V'yavireini b'mayim, mayim birkoim. And he let me cross the water that was knee-deep. Mikan shamuta laver ad birkoim. From here you see that when you have a stream that's knee-deep, one's allowed to cross it. V'yomed elef. And he measured another 1,000 amos. V'yavireini. And he let me cross mei mosnayim. This time it was waist-deep. Mikan, from here you see, shamuta laver ad mosnayim. One's allowed to pass through water that's waist-deep. Mikan v'elech. However, regarding from here and on, what does it say next? Vayomod elef nachal, asheloi uchal laver. He measured another 1,000 amos, and it became a stream that he could not cross. So what do you see from there? That anything deeper than waist deep, you're not allowed to cross. It's considered dangerous to cross there. It's a not crossable stream. So how could you say here in the Gemara, you could go at Tzavoron Bamayim, neck deep in water? You see in the Psukim here that you're not even allowed to go anything deeper than the waist. Omar Abaya says, Shani Nachal, that particular stream that was coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Deradife Maya, it had a very strong current. It flowed with a strong current, and therefore it was more dangerous. And anything above waist level was dangerous to cross. However, when you've got calm waters, one's allowed to wade through, even if it's neck deep. And now the Gemara continues regarding this stream that came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Yochel Yavirenu Besichui. I may have thought that the part of the stream that was above the waist level, why can one not cross it by swimming? You can't wade through it, it's too deep, but why can't you swim through it? Talmud Loma, it says in the Pasuk, Kigo'u hamayim mei sochu, the stream that you could not cross because the water swelled into sochu waters. Kigo'u hamayim, the mayim swelled, mei sochu, they became sochu waters. And then it says it was a stream that could not be crossed. What was it about mei sochu? Mai mei sochu? Shiyuta. It means swimming waters. Where do we find Shekein Koinim l'shayota, people commonly called swimming by the name of Siocha, and therefore the Pasuk reads that the water swelled into water that was deep enough to swim in, because it was deeper than the waist, it was deep enough to swim in, it was called Mei Sahu, nonetheless you could not pass it because the current was too fast and it was dangerous to be crossed, even swimming. Continues the Gemara, Yochel Yavirenu Beburniktano. I may think that one can cross the stream on a small boat. Talmud Lema, the Pasuk says, Bal teilech boy oni shayit, that one cannot cross it with the oni shayit. We'll soon see what that means. I may have thought that he could cross it with a large ship. Talmud Lema says in the Pasuk, V'tzi adir, we'll soon see what tzi adir means, lo yavrenu, you cannot cross it with tzi adir. Obviously it means this big boat, you cannot cross it even with a big boat, the current is too strong. My mashma, what does oni shayit and tzi adir mean? K'dematargim Rav Yosef, like Rav Yosef, who was very familiar with all the Aramaic translations of Yonasan ben Uziel, and it says there, Loitezal bei besfinas tzayodim, do not travel through this stream from the point which is more than waist deep, with sfinas tzayodim, which is a fishing boat, cannot travel on it, and that was the small boat that we mentioned before. Uburna rabosi, and a mighty vessel, loy tegoizino, cannot cross it either. Not only a small boat cannot cross it, but even a large boat cannot cross it. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Yehuda ben Pazi, af malach hamoves, even the malach hamoves, the angel of death, ein l'roshus laver b'soichoy, he cannot pass through this stream. Where would we know that from? Ksiv hoche, it says, as we just saw, bal teilech boy oni shayit. And oni shayit, which we said just now, means a fishing boat. But since what cannot pass through it is called a oni shayit, uchsiv hasam, and it's written elsewhere, it says, mishut b'oretz, that the Malach HaMoves is considered as one that wanders. Meshut is also a term used for wandering, that he wanders the earth. And the same way as the Malach HaMoves is Meshut, which means that he's wandering, so too when it says that you cannot cross it, Onishayit, it means that the Malach HaMoves cannot cross this stream. It continues the Gemara, more about this stream. Omer of Pinchas Mishum Rav Huna Tzipoiro. Rav Pinchas said in the name of Rav Huna of Tzipori, Ma'ayon ha'yoytze mi'beis kodshei ha'kodoshim. This spring that came out, that originated from the Kodesh ha'kodoshim, batchilo at first, doime le'karni chagovim. It was very, very thin, like the antennae of the locusts. Kiven shegi'a le'pesach ha'heichel. Once it reached the Pesach of the Heichel, then nase kechut shel shesi. It swelled up and became as wide as a thread of the warp, which would be the vertical threads of the loom. Kiven shegi'a le'ulam, once it reached the entrance of the ulam, nase kechut shel erev, it was even thicker, and this stream was as wide as the thread of the woof, which is the horizontal thread of the loom, the one that went backwards and forwards between the strings of the warp. Kiven shegi'a le'pesach ha'azora, once this stream reached the entrance of the azora, Nase kefi pach kotni, became as wide as the mouth of a small flask. V'haynu ditnan, and this is what we saw in the Mishnah, Maseches Midos, Shebeleze ben Yaakov Oimer, Mayim mefakin, that the water of the stream, which was as wide as the mouth of a flask, a pachin is a flask, Asidin lies yoitze mitachas mifton abayis, is in the future going to emerge from under the threshold of the azora. Mikan veheluch, from beyond the azara, hoyom is gabir v'oile, then it would continue to rise and swell. Al shemagia lePesach beis David, until it reached the place called Har Tzion, which is outside of Yerushalayim, called the beis David, the house of David. Kiven shemagia lePesach beis David, once it reaches the place of the entrance of the beis David, nasek nachal shoytef, it becomes a swift flowing stream with a current. Sheboy roichatzim zovin v'zovois nidois v'yoldois. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, bayema, who on that day hie mokoyer niftoch lebeis David, there'll be a spring opened up for the house of David, ule yoshvi Yerushalayim, and for the people living in Yerushalayim, lechatos v'ule nido, in order to be cleansed and purified. Omer Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Mikan, from here we have a remez, an allusion to Lenido Shetzricho Leishev Ad Savoro B'mayim, even though it doesn't say explicitly that at this point, when it comes to Beis David, that the water was neck high. We don't see that explicitly here, but from the very fact that it says that only from the point where this stream reached the Beis David, that's when they could going to the Tovel there, from you see from there that there must be a certain height in order for a person to be able to Tovel, because if it's too shallow, then when the person has to bend himself over, there will be creases in his skin that will not allow the water to reach there, and that would be an issue with chatzitza, with the tevila. So Rav Yosef says that mikan remez lenidosh atzicha leishiv at savora b'mayim. There's an allusion here from the fact that to this halacha that for a woman to be able to tovel in a mikveh, the water has to be neck high. You see from here that the water had to have a substantial height in all depth in order to be able to tovel in it. But let's hilchas akava. Say the halacha is not like Rav Yosef, and the water does not need to be neck deep in order to allow a person to tovel in it. And now the Gemara is continuing that we saw before that one's allowed to pass a stream, go through the water on Yom Kippur, and there's no issue of rechitza, washing on Yom Kippur, providing he's doing it not for pleasure. He's doing it just in order to do a mitzvah of going to his father or to his Rebbe. That's all very good. Tinach Yom Kippurim deleka minol. On Yom Kippur, where a person's not wearing shoes, so wading through the water would not be an issue, providing there's no issue of rechitza. Shabbos, however, what's with the regular Shabbos? De'ika minol, that a person is typically wearing shoes. May, is it one allowed to wade through a stream on Shabbos, or are we afraid that his shoes are going to fall off and he'll carry them, and that would be an issue on Shabbos? Oma Nechemya, Chasne de Benesia, Nechemya, the son-in-law of the Nasi, said that Ano Chazite l'Rab Ami v'Rab Asi, de Motu, Urkuma de Maya, I saw Rab Ami and Rab Asi, that they went through a pool of water, v'Avrua, that means they reached the pool of water, v'Avrua, they crossed it, Derech Malbush, while they were wearing their shoes. So we see that there's no concern that the shoe would fall off and they would carry it. Says the Gemara, Tinach Minol, I can understand that regarding regular shoes, that one can tie onto the foot well. Sandal, however, the type of sandal, Maik Lemema, what are you going to say? These sandals are loose-fitting, and they might fall off. Is it allowed even with sandals? Omer of Rechumi, Rav Rechumi says, Ano chazite l'Ravina, the Ovar Derech Malbush, I once saw that Ravina crossed a body of water whilst wearing the sandals. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says, nonetheless, sandal lekatchil aloy, it's preferable not to go through water with sandals on Shabbos because they may fall off and you could end up carrying them on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Resh gelusa iklo lehagroinyo debeir of Nosen. The head of the exile, he came to a place called Hagrunya, to the home of Rav Nosson, and he was there for Shabbos. Rafram v'kulu rabbonon osu lepirka, Rafram and all the chachomim came to the Joshua of the Resh Galusa, Ravina loy osa, but Ravina did not come. Lamachar boyer Rafram the next day, then Rafram he tried lafuke le Ravina midaiti de Resh Galusa. He wanted to remove Ravina from the mind of the Resh Galusa, which means that he wasn't sure whether the Resh Galusa looked negatively against Ravina for not coming to the Drasha, and Rafram wanted to resolve that. So Omale, so Rafram went to Ravina and asked Ravina, "My tamale osa mar lepirka, why did you, my master, not come to the Drasha yesterday of the Resh Galusa?" Omale, Ravina said to him, "Have a koivli karai, my foot was hurting me." So Rafram answered, "Iboy lechol meisam masone, why didn't you put on shoes to protect your feet?" So he answered, Ravina answered, "Gabo dikare hava, it was the top of the foot that was hurting, and if I'm going to wear shoes, it would have aggravated it even more." So Rafram said to him, "Iboy loch lemir masandala, why didn't you put on sandals, which is loose fitting? It would not have hurt your foot." Omale, so Ravina said to him, "Urka madamaya hava baurcha, there was a pool of water on the way." So Rafram said to him, "Iboy loch lemevere derech malbush, why didn't you just keep your sandals on and go through the water?" Omale, Ravina said to Rafram, "Leisovar lo mar lahod omer Ravashi, do you, my master, not hold of what Ravashi said, sandal lekatchila loy, that lekatchila, it's preferable not to go through water wearing sandals?" And here the Tosfos Yeshanim discusses that we find in this Gemara a contradiction. Just before we saw that Rav Rechumi said that he saw Ravina going through the water even wearing the sandals, and it was Rav Ashi who argued and said that it's preferable not to do that. And here we have Ravina that didn't want to do that. So it seems to be a contradiction in Ravina, and the Tosfos Yeshanim discusses that. And in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.